In the Stone Age, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have cars. They used horses and lamps. You want to go back to that age? Nobody wants to go back to that age. We all want to live in this age with all the facilities. That is the difference between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. It's like comparing today's world with the Stone Age. To me, it's very clear like that. And Jesus came to lift us higher. And He lived His life to show us that that was possible. Because the devil is always whispering in our ears, it's not possible for you. It's not possible. It's not possible. And the Bible says, let us look unto Jesus and run this race. It is possible. Every time the devil says it's not possible, don't say you've attained it. Doesn't matter. But I say, I'm going to get there. Even Paul, at the end of his life, when he was more than 60 years old, having walked with God for 30 years, says in Philippians 3, I'm not yet perfect. I've not yet attained. I've not yet become like Jesus. But it doesn't mean I'm at the same level as I was when I was unconverted. Oh no. I made a lot of progress up this mountain of becoming like Jesus. I don't get discouraged because I didn't reach the top. But I'm going to press on. I publicly confess, Paul said, that I've not attained. Jesus is perfect. I'm wanting to. That's the goal I have, because the Bible says in Romans 8:29 that we were predestined to become like Jesus Christ. That's the destination written on our ticket, to become like Jesus Christ. That's why Christ came, not just to forgive our sin, because they had forgiveness of sins under the old covenant. Psalm 103, 1,000 years before Christ, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your sins. But what they didn't have was being saved from sin. And the first page of the New Testament says, angel tells Joseph, this baby that Mary is going to have, you've got to name him Jesus. The meaning of which is, he will save his people from their sins. Not forgive their sin, but that's already done. But he will save his people from their sins by dying, forgiving them and saving them. Two parts to it. Full salvation. Not just salvation from hell. Not you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from hell. That is a false translation. But that, unfortunately, is what many Christians believe. I hope there's nobody here who believes that the New Testament is you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from hell. No version of the Bible has that. He will save his people from what? From sin. So that's what you need to ask yourself. This Jesus I believe in, has he saved me from hell or is he saving me from sin? Very important question. The devil wants to rob us of our inheritance by saying he'll only save you from hell. I say, get behind me, Satan. He's also going to save me from sin. Not all of a sudden from everything, but progressively. I learned that from the first chapter of the Bible. In the first chapter of the Bible, the earth is dark and empty and without form. And two things happen. That dark, empty, formless world is a picture of my life, unconverted. And the Holy Spirit, it says, begins to brood over it. And that's what happens to us when we were born again. The Holy Spirit begins to come into our life. And the second thing, the Word of God goes forth. God said, God said. God could have made that earth perfect in one moment, but he didn't, to teach us a lesson. He did it in stages over 6 days. Day by day, by day by day, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The first day it was a little better. Light came in. The second day a little, still more. Third day still more. Finally, on the sixth day, after God has made Adam and Eve, what does it say? They were in the image of God. And that's a lesson for us. We start off dark, empty, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, formless, having lost the image of God, no light, full of darkness, and the Holy Spirit works in us. We come to new birth and we read and hear the Word of God regularly, and day by day by day by day by day, one day the image of God will be completely in us. So we should never get discouraged. And if you slip and fall in the race, get up and run. I've heard of people who slipped and fell in even Olympic races and got up and ran again in 10,000 meters races, long races, and won. Because they didn't just lie down and say, oh, no hope for me. Imagine a man running in an Olympic Games and so many people running with him and the people ahead of him, and he trips and falls, and it actually happened. And he got up and he didn't give up. He said, okay, these guys are ahead of me, but I'm going to run and win. And he won. That's the determination we Christians must have. If you fall, don't give up. I'm going to run and win. And that verse that Santosh quoted, run in such a way, 1 Corinthians 9, one run in such a way that you will win. And he says only one wins the race. But he's telling the entire Corinthian church, you can all come first. That's the wonderful thing about the Christian life, that everybody can come first, not just one person. In the earthly races, one person comes first. In the Christian life, he's telling, and who is he writing this to? The Corinthians were the most carnal, worldly church in the first century. Paul was so disgusted with them, he said, I'm your father. Shall I come to you with a rod, give you a spanking, because you're so indisciplined and defeated in your Christian life? Why does a father do that? Because he wants his children to come first. Paul had such a heart. He prayed for them. He wept for them. It was not a teacher spanking a student. It was a father who didn't want to shame his children, but wanted the best for his children, just like we want the best for our children. And he wanted them to come first. And that verse shows me the most carnal people can come first. Are you defeated, carnal? You can come first too. What does it mean to come first in the Christian race? It means to enter heaven and Jesus saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That is what it means to come first. To me, that's what it means to come first. I'm not looking for some physical crown on my head. The Bible says those who have crowns will throw it at the feet of Jesus. We won't have any crown. Sorry to disappoint you, but you won't have any crown when you move around in heaven. We'll throw it all at the feet of Jesus, who deserves it all. But I do want to hear, for many, many years, I have wanted to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when I come to the end of the race. My dear brothers and sisters, I hope that is your passion. If it's just a weak desire, you'll never get it. You have to have a passion. Do you know how these people come first in the Olympics? They train for 4 years. Think of a man running the 26-mile marathon. And he wants to get into the Olympics. Every day, he'll run 26 miles. I don't think he enjoys it. But he's determined to get the prize. It's only such people who get the prize. And he's disciplined in his eating, in his sleeping habits, eating habits, because he says, I want to get that prize. And Paul says, be disciplined like that. We're not talking about physical discipline and running. We're talking about our attitude to sin. I want to be disciplined. There's something I want to do, but I'm not going to do it. That's discipline. Do you think those runners who are running the marathon are not tempted when they see a bowl of ice cream and all the other things that will make them fat and heavy? They won't be able to win the race. They are tempted when they see that. Boy, I really feel like eating that, but I've got to win the race, so I'm going to deny myself. Or they don't feel like getting up in the morning again at 6 o'clock to run a marathon today. You think they all feel like getting up? No. But they tell themselves, I am going to get up because I want to win the prize. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, temptation is real, attractive. But you have to discipline yourself and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to retort in anger just because he spoke to me in anger. I'm not going to be bitter towards that person because he was bitter towards me. No. I'm not going to speak evil of him if I heard that he spoke evil of me. I'm tempted, sure, like this athlete is tempted to eat up all that ice cream, but he says, I won't do it because I want to win the race. Say that. Holy Spirit of God, fill me so that I will hear from the words, from the mouth of Jesus, my Savior, one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And every one of you, children, teenagers, adults, everyone can hear it. We can all come first Let that be a desire in your heart, at least from today. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I've been indisciplined in the past with my eyes, what I look at and read. I want to be disciplined. I've been very indisciplined with my tongue, saying things here and there. I want to be disciplined from today because I want to hear you say, well done, a good and faithful servant. That's all. And if I want to get that, what the Lord has shown me is, you remember the words that the Father from heaven spoke at the baptism of Jesus. You all know that when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. And let me expand it. I have watched him for 30 years in Nazareth. He's never done a miracle till today. He's never preached a sermon till today. Just like many of you, never done a miracle, never preached a sermon, never mind. This is my son, who's never cast out a demon, never healed a sick person, just like many of us. All he's done is lived at home, faithfully, with his mother, with Joseph, with four younger brothers, and two younger sisters at least. Joseph had died later on when Jesus grew up. There were at least seven people in the room. He was working just like a lot of us work, earning his living. A much poorer job than many of us have. Working physically as a carpenter. Trying to get orders for tables and stools and whatever he was making. He had to struggle to earn his living in Nazareth. His aim was not to become the richest carpenter in Nazareth. No. His aim was to earn his living and take care of his family.